Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hey everybody, what's up? Zach Matchett here, filling in for Steve Arterburn. Welcome to New Life Live, wherever you're listening to us today. Thanks so much for spending time with us. I am hanging out with two of the best. Dr. Alice Benton is one of them.
Hey.
Hi, Alice.
Hi, folks.
Good to see you. And Becky Brown joining us. Hi, Becky.
Yes. Hi, Zach. Hi, Alice. How are you?
It's good to be hanging out with both of you guys.
Sure
again.
Is.
I'm always honored when Steve sends out the SOS to come and fill in for him. I'm honored to be here. And last week I was on and with you guys, and I shared a quote that I was like, ooh, that fit the context of the caller, but it may be good to come back to next time that I'm on. It's a quote by Tim Keller, and just in this season of, a lot of polarization and a lot of hostility and a lot of just social media addiction and spending way too much time consuming all of that, then it just makes us more irritated at real life in-person conversation. But the quote is, truth without love is harshness. Love without truth is sentimentality. So the Christian idea of speaking the truth in love sounds great. It would go great on a coffee mug, maybe even the one that I'm holding right here. It would just fit really nicely on there. But actually living that out, putting that into practice is quite challenging. I'd love to hear from you guys because you have to have many crucial conversations, direct conversations for people who need to hear truth in love. It's a loaded question. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. What have you learned? How have you failed and refailed and relearned how to do that? So, Becky, let's start with you. How do you speak the truth in love?
The first answer I come up with is humble down. And to know that as we share, I also think about truth and grace. That we've been given so much grace for all the mistakes and the wrongs that we have done.
Yes.
As we are sharing with somebody else, the compassion that we have to have is, it's got to be full of God's grace, because there but for the grace of God go I. And I just think there's a lot of truth telling without grace and without love. And I think we need a lot of grace and a lot of love, especially in times like these.
Yeah, absolutely. Alice, what would you say?
We each have to identify where we are on that spectrum. Are we too heavy on the grace side? Are we too heavy on the truth side? I'm a recovering, people-pleasing, conflict avoider. And so giving truth is very difficult for me. In fact, I can really fall into a lot of deception, lying, omission, because I'm so afraid of ruffling people's feathers. And so my task has been to grow in speaking the truth. The love part's easy for me. The truth is not. And a lot of us are attracted to the opposite in our partners, and that is the case. My husband is good at telling truth, but he's had to soften up. So it's been a growth process for us together. And a way to help motivate us in doing this is to find out how our style affects the people around us. It's hard on my husband that I am less inclined to speak up about my opinions and my wants. But he's also had to soften up his edges of how he brings truth to me, to our family.
And you know, the other thing about that too, and we talk about this all the time, is that there's always a story behind that story. Mm. You know, when people are abrasive towards us, there's something at the root that has driven that. And so that's where that grace comes into play. You know, we don't know the whole story.
Yeah, that's right. I immediately thought my friend Steve Carter has a book out called The Thing Beneath the Thing. There's a thing beneath the thing.
Always.
And you know what? What's interesting about the truth and love thing is rarely do we have the self-awareness to know truly if we're good at it or not. You know who usually has the best idea? The people who are closest to us in our life. Our spouses, our kids, our counselor, whoever the case may be, our pastor. And it's just having that awareness to reach out and go, hey, am I doing this well? Do I need to improve? So we're taking your calls today. Our first call is going to be, looks like we got three calls lined up. So hang on there. We'll get to you, 1-800-229-3000. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome to New Life Live. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown are with me. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. We're going to get right to your calls. We got some people waiting. They've been very patient, and I'm ready to get to them. So we got Sandy here listening to us in Colorado, beautiful Colorado. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hello.
Hi, Sandy. Can you hear us?
I'm still
yes.
Nervous.
That's okay.
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Go ahead.
So my husband, we've been married for a long time. Wonderful man. We have a good marriage. But the last 6 months, I've been concerned more and more about a relationship that he has with another woman. They're good friends. And I guess I would, my heart and my head keep saying emotional affair. I'm not quite sure. I know that she has marital issues as well. There is quite a bit of distance between the two, so I'm not worried about a physical affair. And he's acknowledged that I am upset about it and is willing to give it up, but also doesn't think that there's anything inappropriate. I found deleted texts, heart emojis, a couple of memes that he sent her about friendship, love, and how he wants to buy her flowers, but can't because there's no romance with friends, you know, and just little flirtations, nothing obscene, of course, or, you know, sexting or anything of that nature, but yeah. I can't help but feel like she relies on him and he relies on her, and my heart is just heavy.
Yeah, I hear your heart is heavy. I'm sorry that you're walking through with this. I'm just, what would be, if you had to summarize kind of the question you would ask, what would that be?
I don't know what to do. I don't want to be the wife that tells him who he can and can't talk to. I don't want him to resent me for making him give up a relationship that maybe is innocent. I have no reason to think that his, you know, if this is an emotional affair, that this is intentional.
Yeah.
But can I put you at ease? On me in the last 6 months, it has come up.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I put you at ease on two things just real quick, and I'll throw it to the ladies here. Number one, you said I don't want to be the woman or the wife that tells him who he can and can't talk to. In a marriage relationship, mm-hmm. you're a team. The scriptures say the two shall become one flesh, meaning intimacy is comprehensive. And that includes who mm-hmm. and you speak to and interact with. And so I think that is in bounds to express concern, to ask, to challenge. And so I think you're totally in bounds to do that. The second thing I would say is, regardless if there's any sort of extramarital affair going on, this is one thing that is very highly concerning to me. I wonder if the ladies could comment on this too, is the fact that this has been hidden, that there's deleted messages, that there's things that clearly he does not want you or whoever to see. And it's very easy to say, oh, it's no big deal because I deleted it because it wasn't a big deal. Then why are you deleting? I mean, there seems to be some other layers there that may be populating why he's doing what he's doing. I don't want to take too much time, but just two quick things from me. Alice, I'll go to you first. How would you kind of address Sandy here, kind of what she should do next?
Sandy, I'll first ask, what's the worst thing you're afraid will happen if you do hold strong to your stance that this is just not right for you and for your marriage? I understand you're afraid that you'll be that kind of a wife. Is there anything else you're afraid will happen if you take that stance?
Yeah. Sorry. I don't want to lose him. I don't want to chase him into the arms of somebody else because I don't want him to think, well, if she's thinking it, then I might as well do it. Or what if I'm right? Or what if he does have a love for her and he's having marital problems? And, you know, then I don't want to lose him, and I don't want to be the reason he runs to our arms. Or
and you are afraid he,
true,
he
you know,
might.
I don't know.
You're afraid he might leave if you push on this. Mm-hmm. Is this a painful mm-hmm. question? Is this the first time that you've been afraid he's crossed boundaries with someone else or with pornography, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. This is the first thing. We've been married 22 years, and I've never had. Yes. He's not the type. I hate to say that because there's not a type. I understand that, but this is nothing I would ever expect from him. And like I said, I don't feel like this is an intentional thing that he's doing. I think that it's innocent. And he said that he's trying to counsel her to help her get God into her marriage that she's having trouble with. And I'm like, well, am I squashing a discipleship that my husband is in? Am I going, is God speaking to him to help her? But it's hurting me, so am I being selfish?
Sandy, drawing the line is not only protective of your marriage, it's actually protective of her marriage.
That's absolutely right.
Because her husband, if he's at all aware, would also very likely be feeling some of the same things that you are. There is, to me, objectively, it sounds like there's absolutely minimization taking place. The heart emojis, those kind of things, that's a boundary crossing that you don't do with another man's wife, especially when you yourself are married. And it does sound like deception that some of these things have been deleted. And so what you are asking of your husband is good for everyone involved. But you're right. There is a risk that he will so dislike your request or your requirement that it might reveal what may be actually the case about your marriage. Now, there's a lot of good signs about your marriage that lead me to believe he mm-hmm. will be understanding. He has said that he'll release this relationship, but you're making a good request mm-hmm. of him in doing so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Becky, what would you say?
Oh, I have so much to say, Sandy. my heart breaks for you, and I want you to know that Alice is right on. You have to make this boundary. We work with women all the time that will kind of minimize what they're feeling. You are feeling betrayed on a deep level. It is stirring everything to the point where you are afraid to make a good decision. If he decides to go towards her, that's his decision. Because if you were powerful enough to control somebody else, which none of us are, you know, you wouldn't have him even talking to her. This is all wrong. This is all wrong. And you are correct to say, nope, this is not going to work. She's going to have to figure something else. And I would even go even further is to say, you got to cut all ties. And, you know, if he gets reactive about that, that's his issue. I obviously I have lots of feelings about this because we hear this story so many times that it started with a text and he was trying to help her. There are other people that can help her. And my heart goes out to her as well because he is not a safe helper for her. And so there's a lot of confusion that's coming up. So my suggestion to you, Sandy, is first of all, you've got to have somebody who is there to support you as you tell him what the boundary is, because if you could have done this already, you probably would have, but you're feeling a lot of fear that you're going to push him somewhere. He's made all these decisions on his own up to this point, and if he chooses to go away from his marriage, that's the story he's going to have to tell. It won't be because you did something wrong. It will be because you were fighting for sanctity of your marriage, and he wasn't willing to uphold that agreement or that covenant.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's hard. There's is it, quote unquote, is it wrong in a vacuum to exchange a message, you know, with another? No, of course not. But in the context of marriage, there's context here, you know? There's context that yes, that's an overstepping. As you were talking, it reminded me, Becky, of, I don't know if you guys have listened to anything from Andy Stanley. He's got this message series called Guardrails, and he talks about, like, guardrails are things that you set up that are agreed upon boundaries that are not even necessarily sins, But when you break a guardrail, it creates an extra accountability that you're starting to feel bad about things or feel a sense of discretion, you know, your indiscretion about things that aren't even necessarily bad, but you put that up there so you don't get too close to the cliff. You don't get too close to actually going right. forward with what is actually challenging. That sounds like a boundary thing, like what we were talking about right here.
Well, and Jack, that's his work to do. And for you, yeah, Sandy, right. your work is to protect your heart, to not continue to be, you know, go with your gut on this one. You don't feel right about this. There's stuff that is missing, you know, when he erases texts or there's inappropriate emojis. This is, you know, the 21st century. This is how communication happens. And there are people that build relationships that way. And that's what's happening right now. And my heart breaks for you. I know that there's hope, and I know that if he makes a good choice, there is a really good chance that you're going to have a better marriage on the other side of this. But you cannot hold your breath in this one.
It does feel sometimes like boundaries will force someone into a behavior, but boundaries don't do that. They don't force behavior. They do reveal the true state of desire and relationships and intentions. And that truth and that reality, it is our friend. As painful as it is our friend. And so you need to know, is the man I'm married to, who's been great for 22 years, is he the kind of man that will stick by me, or has he become the kind of man that would choose this woman over me? Living in ignorance and blindness to that will lead to destruction for you both, and finding out the true reality of it will serve you both, even though there may be something painful there to realize.
Yeah, yeah. Sandy, how would you respond?
He did say, in fact, it was this morning, he said, you are the most important person in my life. He's like, if you want this over, it's over. But he also added to that I didn't think there was anything inappropriate. So I'm worried that he'll end up resenting me for making him do something. And that's something that I know we can work through. But he has said that I am the most important thing. So and I know he loves me.
And so he might, and you know what, Sandy?
To get a little bit of counsel.
He might resent you, but that's his work to work on. That resentment is his work to work on. And I think that's the, you know, in relationships, we will have feelings about our partner, and we got to do something with those feelings. We either reveal them, you know, and this is going to be an opportunity for you guys to really grow stronger so that you can be totally honest about what you feel. I love that he said, if you want it to be over, it's over.
Yes.
I would call him on that one and say, you know what? I talked to some folks.
I'm taking you up on the offer. Yeah. Is there a resource that
we
can send?
He's probably listening. He's the one that led me to you guys.
Oh, great. Worthy of Her Trust would be the book.
He's probably listening.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, husband of Sandy.
If you're listening. Do you have a resource? That's right. Yeah, I was saying, sorry to cut you off. What was the resource you would recommend?
Worthy of Your Trust.
Who's the author of that?
Jason Martinkus.
Okay, great. We'd love to send you a copy of that. And I would just say, just in closing here, any sort of Steve Wallen, who's a pastor I know very nearly and dearly, he's a good friend, and I served with him for a couple of years, said the secret to a healthy marriage is no secrets. And I just think that intimacy piece of being truly open in all ways, when you start to view marriage through that lens, then even the quote-unquote smallest, you know, I put air quotes around that, or most inconsequential, like, it's just a message, it's just an emoji, come on, it's just a meme, come on, it's just a this, it's just a that, it just raises the stakes in a healthy way. I mean that in the healthiest way and sense. And so I'm hopeful, Sandy, that as you hear us, that the things that you're feeling, and I go back to what both these ladies said, that you're feeling that there's a sense of betrayal and deception. That's okay to feel that way, and I want you to, as Becky said, to kind of call him on that and try to move forward in that way. And so your marriage is worth fighting for. It's too important.
We're called to run from even the appearance of sin, to avoid the appearance of sin, and it's for good reason, because seeds are planted, and they will come to some sort of fruition depending on these ongoing choices that we're making.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
So glad you called, Sandy. Gosh.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Totally. And I think, again, on the onset, you may be listening going, okay, well, I've heard a lot worse situations that have ended marriages. I've heard of a lot of, This is step one, and you guys are talking about step seven or eight or whatever. All we're simply saying is that if the root of a relationship is grounded in this type of, you know, I don't want to say this to him, I'm afraid that this is going to happen, or from his standpoint, oh, it's not a big deal. That's all the raw material that's needed to make a really poor choice in all of this.
Yeah, and if it wasn't a big deal, Sandy, you wouldn't be coming to tears about this.
Good call. Good call.
You know,
absolutely.
It is a big deal. We hear you.
Yeah. We got a few more callers on the line. Stay on there. We'll get to you as soon as we can. Thanks so much for joining us today on New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks again for hanging out with us today. Zach Matchett is here with Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown. I wanted to mention briefly before we jump into the next call, we've got some workshops coming up. The Restore workshop is July 15th through the 17th in Dallas. If you actually register by July 1st, you can save $200. And the same goes for our Intimacy and Marriage workshop coming up, as we just talked earlier about marriage and just that idea that your marriage is worth fighting for. If you find yourself in a bit of a crisis moment or just need some hope, some direction, some wisdom in your marriage, that would be a great place to start. Intimacy and Marriage, July 22nd through the 24th in Washington, D.C. If you register by July 8th, you will also receive $200 off. And if you give during the month of June, which I hope that you do, we're in the middle of this match campaign. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But we want to recommend, I should give you a resource if you give during the month of June about our good friend who passed away, Dr. Dave Stoop, and his book, actually very appropriate with Father's Day just around the corner, Making Peace with Your Father by him. It takes you through 11 steps that will help you make peace with your earthly father, which I know some of you guys listening have great relationships with your earthly father. Others of you do not. And that has plagued you and caused difficulties later in life. But it's how to make peace with your earthly father so you can have a closer relationship with your heavenly father. So again, great resources. And so if you contribute during the month of June, we will send you that Dave Stoop book for free. Thanks so much for contributing to all the good things that New Life is doing. We really, really appreciate it. We're going to go to our next call here. Sabrina has been patiently waiting. Thank you, Sabrina. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hi, so good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you too. How can we help you?
Okay, so I need help with, I need to help my daughter, and I don't have the tools that I need to be able to help her. So she has, she's 19, she started having an issue with just being extreme. I'm not sure exactly how to explain it other than freaking out over things that don't matter. A few years ago, it started when we first noticed it being very, very, very extreme was when she was taking a test online, a college test. She was doing dual enrollment. She's very smart. She gets straight A's and everything. She was taking a college exam and didn't finish it in the time allotted and freaked out so much that she was hyperventilating. She was crying for hours. Oh. Nothing that we said could calm her down. It wasn't just crying. It was like scream crying.
A deeper form, yeah.
Describe it. Yeah, and I took her to a counselor. She was also dealing with anorexia. I would call it anorexia at the time. So I took her to a counselor who she had three or four sessions with, and she didn't feel that it helped. I just didn't know if I needed to take her to maybe a psychiatrist because her mood swings are so intense.
Well, I appreciate the call. And so the question is just what to do next. Would that be a – I know it's kind of a shortened version of the question, but kind of some next steps. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. What do I do to get her help?
Yeah. Becky, do you want to jump in here first? And
yeah. You know, you said she's 19, Sabrina?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, so there's a lot changing in her life. Yeah, there's a lot changing in her life, and she does need some evaluation if this is ongoing. Obviously, anxiety is at the root of all of this. Anxiety is part of anorexia. It's part of the extreme reactions that you're hearing. A lot of times when folks are highly intelligent, you know, that perfectionism kicks in, and anything less than perfect is a trigger, and we have to learn coping skills and how to be able to relax and to withstand some of the imperfections of this world. Is she said she was not getting help from the counselor that she went to, but it may be that she just needs a different counselor. Go ahead, Sabrina.
That's exactly what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking, that she needs a different counselor. I wanted to get her a new life counselor or find out if I should get a psychiatric evaluation because of the severe mood swings. She's also had secondary amenorrhea for a couple years. So that kind of could be a hormonal thing.
Well, yeah, but it could also tie in with the anorexia as well. If at the bare minimum, she needs an assessment from a medical doctor. It could be the psychiatrist, could be your family doctor. And then I would also encourage you, you know, a counselor. And the message that you want to send to her is not that there's something wrong with her, but that there is a better way for her to approach her life.
Yeah,
so that
absolutely.
She doesn't have these extremes. And, you know, and I mean, there's lots of things that it could be, and I don't want to diagnose her, obviously. We want to give her the support that she needs. And I know, Alice, you've got some insight into this as well, but I just think that you're on the right track, Sabrina, as far as finding her another counselor.
Yeah, and Sabrina, we wanted you to stay on the line if you can, if you're able to, so Alice can kind of follow up here. You know, teenagers are and young adults are under a lot of pressure, you know, and some of that is self-imposed, and we can oftentimes be our biggest critic. But the other times, there are other things kind of that are the deeper reason behind the, you know, pressure that they may feel, that you feel. I mean, even you even started the call, Sabrina, by saying, you know, worried about things that aren't even really a big deal. But obviously, the response is a big deal, and in her mind, it is a big deal, which is why she's responding that way. And so there seems to be a lot of layers here. So stay with us. Alice will be back to kind of share her thoughts. Thanks for being with us here today on New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible personal size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life pen and highlighter, and a New Life zippered tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. Zach Matchett, I'm here filling in for Steve Arterburn, Dr. Alice Benton, and Becky Browner with me. We've got Sabrina on the line. Thanks for being patient, Sabrina. I just want to make sure I gave it to Alice to kind of share her thoughts on this situation with your daughter. Go ahead, Alice.
Oh, Sabrina, I can commiserate with you because one of my children is also what I would call highly sensitive and has very strong reactions to things that seem quite small in my estimation. It's hard for me to understand my child's emotions at times. And yet, I have found that the normal way of trying to comfort and encourage children when we tell them, don't cry, don't worry, this one doesn't matter, it'll be fine, look at all the good things you've done. There is a time and place for that. But our more sensitive children, they need our help in divulging and even figuring out for themselves why it was so upsetting. So rather than trying to correct our children's emotions, which is natural and normal, and it works for some kids, but doesn't tend to work for our more highly sensitive children, we have to come in and validate. This was so upsetting for you. And you seem like perhaps you're terrified. Perhaps you're very afraid. Would you tell me about your fear? So rather than correcting their emotions to what would be more logical, we connect with them. And it's in those connecting conversations that helps them to decrease the fear and the anxiety that leads to such a heavy upset. It's very hard to do as a parent, and it takes a lot of supernatural patience and practice. I'll admit, Sabrina, I don't always do it right myself. But the comfort circle from Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love, guides me and helps me to remain a patient, inquisitive listener. Go ahead, Sabrina.
Yeah, I wanted to say that she has five older siblings. They're all adults. They, you know, so I've been through teenagers. I've raised a lot of teenagers.
Yes, you have. Yes, you have. Well done.
Stable. I want to say stable. Thank you. She's the only one who's had this kind of thing, and I also wanted to mention that we are very connecting, and we were able. My husband and I were able to work her out of the anorexia. She has gained the weight back, but she's still dealing with the amenorrhea. That didn't fix that. So we do have a doctor that's working with that. But I just felt that the extremes that she's having were so bad. They were nothing like my older children. And I wanted to get her help before she goes off to college. And, you know, I'm not there to help her. And
Sabrina,
I don't want this to be taken, you know. Yeah.
Sabrina, does she think she has a problem?
She does. She has asked me to help her.
Great.
She says things to me, like when we try to talk to her, she says, I can't explain the problem. I don't know what it is. Nobody understands me, which all kids say that, I realize. But, you know, she willingly went to the counselor before, and she read a book that the counselor gave her, which she really liked. And I think helped her a lot, but she still has these extremes.
So, Sabrina, I would use that humble admission of ignorance to try to draw her back to work with another counselor. So, you express that you want help and you don't understand why you feel like you do. Mm-hmm. And what we have tried is not working well enough either. So, let's go back to attempt professional help again, and we'll figure out a good fit for you, a better fit for you this time, so that we can get some expertise on this. Because, Sabrina, your instinct may be right, that perhaps there is an underlying anxiety disorder or a depression, and those often go hand in hand with anorexia. And so to turn to the expertise of a clinician in order to help figure this out, I think would be wise.
Yeah, and I'll throw one little short piece of encouragement here as we wrap up. And we do want to send, what was the resource, How We Love Our Kids? Is that what we want to send her? Yeah. And one other thing I would mention too is, I've got the chance to kind of come in and fill in here for Steve, so I feel like I'm repeating myself often. I hope that I'm not repeating myself, but I'm going to say this because I've said this often. When our kids are struggling, we really double down on trying to get them the help. My encouragement to you, Sabrina, is for you and your husband to also maybe find an outlet for counseling so that you can parent well through this, because it sounds like what you just shared with us, this is a curveball, a new challenge, a new thing that has come seemingly out of nowhere that maybe wasn't existent that we know of in your other kids, and that can throw us for a loop. And so having a healthy outlet for you to process and think through that, and again, if you want help with that or want just to point us in the right direction, you can visit newlife.com or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We can get you into whether it's a group of some kind or a counselor recommendation. I just think that's super important. It's just oftentimes the most neglected. We go all in on helping the other person, and we neglect our own health and well-being to how to actually get through it, in this particular case, parent through it. So that'd be my final encouragement to you. So thanks again for calling, Sabrina. I hope that was encouraging. Becky, I want to send it over to you because you are going to share about this match campaign that we're doing at New Life.
Well, I'm so excited. We are a little over halfway to our matching gift, but we still have folks that need to give to the matching gift. You know, we want to meet the match. The folks that planted the seed knew that there would be a great harvest that would come from it, and I want all of you to participate in that. You can text the word match to 28950 or 28950 to make your match. You could also call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Whatever way you can give and however much you can give, just know that it'll be doubled, and that just means that we're able to do so much more work. There was somebody I talked to just yesterday who said that they were so excited to be participating in the match because they love what we do, and they also had been a recipient of the work that we do here at New Life. Yeah. They had been to an Everyman's Battle workshop. It had changed their life, changed their family, and they're forever grateful. And so, you know, if you haven't given to the matching gift, do it now. Like text the word match to 28950, give something, or call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Share it with your friends. Maybe you know somebody that wants to give to a great organization. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? New Life is one of those. And we just want to encourage you that it does make a difference in the lives of so many people. And I hear every single day how we have been able to help somebody. And you know what? The radio program is some of the only counseling that people ever get. Like they may not ever go into a counselor's office. That's not what we would want. But we're happy to be able to offer some hope and some instruction and direction for people's lives who are struggling. And so give today, call us today. We want you to be part of it.
Yeah, thanks, Becky. I totally agree. Thank you. We got two callers that we want to get to, so I'm just going to go in the order they came. So we're going to go to Anna first. Anna is listening to us in Los Angeles, California, sunny California. Hi, Anna. Welcome to New Life Live. How can we help you today?
Hope you're all doing well, and thank you for taking my question.
Of course.
My question today is how do I help my daughter transition from home to college? She's 19 and she's been accepted to schools that are outside of our town. She did try to apply to local schools hoping she would commute, but she wasn't accepted. If I could describe her in a few words. She's very intuitive, sensitive, introvert. She's an INFJ according to Briggs-Myers personality type. And I know she's going to be a gift to humanity one day because she's very intuitive. The problem we're having is when she was 14, she was diagnosed with a chronic illness. They told us it has no cure. And then after being in and out of the children's hospital for 2 years, they told us she was misdiagnosed, during which time she became extremely attached and dependent on me, which the doctors explained that, you know, children, when they become ill, they regress. But the doctors couldn't find out what's wrong with her. She had the symptoms, but all her blood works showed normal. During which time she missed out on high school, you know, gatherings, connecting with her peers. And then after high school, the COVID lockdown didn't help.
Oh yes,
because you know. If anything, it made us all more reclusive. And she's been going to school online all this time, which added up to her becoming more attached. Now, she's been accepted to go out of town. And I just want to know how to help her because even though I validate all her feelings, all her emotions, but she's very introverted. She doesn't share everything. What do I tell her? How do I, you know, show her that I've got your hand? I'm, you know, you're not alone.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling, Anna. Every parent, when that child is ready to leave the home, wants them to launch into the next season of adulthood. So you're not alone in that struggle. Stay on the line. We're going to address your question more directly when we get back from the break here in just a second. Jeanette, we're going to get to your call as well if we have time. So stay on the line. We'll be back after this. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Thanks for joining us today. Zach Matchett filling in for Steve Arterburn. I'm here with Dr. Alice Benton and Becky Brown. We have Anna on the line sharing about her daughter who's heading to college here soon and just having some trouble moving into that next phase of her life. And Anna's calling us to see if how we can help her. So I'm going to hand it over to Alice and you can kind of respond to Anna and maybe share a resource or two.
And I have three steps to give you, and I want you to know you put a big smile on my face with how you describe your daughter. I think you do a very good job at building her up, at seeing and speaking the good mm-hmm. in her. And we all have the difficult task of increasing our support circle because one person is never enough to be our go-to for when we're struggling or feeling lonely or just need to engage with someone else. So I would proactively, intentionally strategize with your daughter, increasing that support circle now, even if these other people will not be in the new town she's moving to, but just to come up with a list of 3 to 5 names of people she trusts, put a little time investment into those relationships now before she moves. And doing that is part of what's called systematic desensitization, where you help your daughter move from going to you for her emotional needs to spreading those emotional needs out amongst that group. And so getting a professional assistant in there as well, starting counseling now might also help her to both identify those needs and bring them to the counselor, learn some of those coping skills for those periods that will be lonely and will be frightening for her when she moves away.
Yeah, and you get an awesome mom award. Well, I don't. I'm just pulling one out, and you just get one today. So we want to send you How We Love Our Kids for you, but we also want to send your daughter a book called Take Your Life Back, and we just think that both of those things would be a great resource for each of you. And so hope you're encouraged by that. We're going to try and get one last call. We have a few minutes. Jeanette, you have been so patient. Thank you so much for waiting. We have a few minutes. We wanted to get to your question. So thanks for joining us here on New Life. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
The reason I'm calling is because I'm having problems with feeling very inadequate and my confidence is, I don't know, I don't feel like I have the confidence just to deal with, you know, work and being around people and everything like that. I've always kind of felt this way. So for me to combat those feelings, I've always tried to better myself with education, you know, going to different workshops and just being a positive person. But yesterday it kind of came to a head because I had to go in the office for the first time in, you know, a couple of years because of the pandemic. And I was among my peers, and I just kind of felt like this little kid where everybody was smart and had intelligent things to say. And when I would speak up, it was like, oh, okay, you know, she just said this. And it just, when I went home, I felt so deflated. And I just, you know, I called my kids and I said, you know, I'm what am I doing in this position? Because, you know, I don't have the confidence to be who I, you know, to be in this position. I don't feel worthy, or I don't know the words, I guess. So how, you know, and they, my family have said, you know, given me positive things and, you know, feedback, but it doesn't take away those feelings.
Jeanette,
and it's so debilitating.
As you talked about feeling like a little kid, if you put an age to that child, it felt like you were in the situation. How young is she?
Probably like, I don't know, 10 or so, like grade school.
And what was the difficult experience you went through at about 10 years old?
Throughout my childhood, there was a lot of conflict in the home and not a lot of encouragement. Mm-hmm. You know, if I did something wrong, it was, gosh, you're stupid. And, you know, why did you do this? And there was a lot of that criticism.
Wow.
I mean, I recognize that, and I didn't do the same thing with my children. I, you know, did the polar opposite. But even though I know these things, I can't fix myself.
I would guess
and
that
I
that
still feel those feelings.
That because that little girl inside of you, that 10-year-old, she needs more comfort despite all the work and the education that you have gotten, for some reason that mm-hmm. wound has perhaps reopened. And sometimes when we're put into a position of leadership or we're called back into the office, mm-hmm. it destabilizes us, and that that strength that we were able to garner, it can feel like we've lost it. And so you probably need to revisit some of those old messages that were given to you. I mean, how painful what your parents told you and what you went through. It's resurfacing right now for a reason. And with the help of a good therapist, you can give comfort to that little girl inside of you and strengthen and draw her up into the leader God is calling you to be in the workplace.
Absolutely. Yeah. Becky, what would you jump in here with just to encourage Jeanette?
Well, Jeanette, I think that your awareness is great. I mean, and that's a big help to just to be able to identify all those things that are going on inside of you. I think really a support group would be helpful. Sometimes we can practice in group what we need mm-hmm. to do outside in our regular day. And so it can be a very safe place for you to connect with people. We have life recovery groups all over the country, and mm-hmm. if you'll stay on the line, we'll get you connected with one. But it can be just the process of understanding what's at the core of what's driving this. And Alice, you picked up on it. It is that history. However, you know, Jeanette, you were able to overcome it for a long time. It's, mm-hmm. But here's the other thing. I want to just, the last couple years have been hard for everyone.
Yeah.
And so as we're doing reentry into the new normal, because there is no old normal, it's all new all the time, we're going to have different reactions, and we just got to be able to see where our help is. We, you know, even when you were talking about the messages or the conversations you were having at work, it's okay to say, you know, I am so out of practice in having normal conversation. Because mm-hmm. guess what, Jeanette, you're not the only one in that room that is feeling that. And so I just want to affirm you in that, but I would encourage you to get connected with a group, and we'll help you do that.
Yeah, a couple things I would add just here in closing is, you're welcome. And I think for me, I'll speak very personally for myself. I am probably at my most insecure and vulnerable when I don't know how to do something or say something that I think I should know how mm-hmm. to do or say. That is when you are confronted
imposter
at that moment.
Syndrome. Uh-huh.
Oh yeah, totally, mm-hmm. totally. It's just like, who disguised himself as Zach Matchett today and is not able to do this or whatever. You know, it's a tough thing, and I'm being a little facetious, but Jeanette, I hear just the frustration of like, how is it that everybody's outpacing me? Like, it's not like I just, you know, everybody else has gone through the same thing, and yet here I am struggling to really find my way in this kind of new situation, or not a new situation, but a revisiting of something that was before. And so that'd be the first thing, is just to come to grips with, you know what, that insecurity, to name it, to say it, to get to the root of it, as Alice did earlier, about your family of origin. And then the thing that Becky said, which is really good, is just that community piece and getting into a recovery group. You know, C.S. Lewis, years ago, theologian, had that phrase, what's the start of every great relationship or friendship? It's the phrase, you two, I thought I was the only one. That's the beginning of every friendship and relationship. And just that sense of commonality, like, thank God I'm not the only one dealing with this, or I've got other people that can relate and resonate with what I'm going through. And so
if we say that to ourselves, it helps us in those days too. Remember, Jeanette, everyone you meet is facing something difficult. You're not the only one, and there's strength in knowing that as you go back into the work. And I'm sure that if you got the job, you probably deserve the job. You probably are much more competent than you're giving yourself credit for.
You have what it takes. Absolutely. We want to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think it's just a good resource for you to think through and just kind of ruminate on as you kind of move into this work environment. I just cannot stress enough the importance of community, of doing life together and not doing life in isolation, whether it's in a recovery setting, just having friendship and meaningful family around. Live life together. Don't live life alone. Thanks for joining us today on New Life Live. If you need anything, 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number to call, newlife.com. Thanks again for joining us today. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.